Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tainted and Tempted Podcast, Season 4, hosted by Asia, yours truly. As you can see, I do have a special guest here with me today, but it is Friday, and I hope everyone had a great week as I did, and I'm ready for this new show. So I'm going to let my special guest introduce herself, and we're going to jump right into it. So I have...
I'm Janelle Nelly Allen.
Yes, how you doing? Welcome to the Tainted and Tempted Podcast.
I'm
feeling good, ready for this new day, this new show and everything and more. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I like what's going on.
Yes, and I needed you, yes, to come on my show today.
Yes.
So I want to talk about Steven Twitch Boss and his passing. Drastic. Steven, if you don't know who Steven Twitch Boss was, he was a dancer and a DJ for the Ellen DeGeneres show. He died on December 13th. He was only 40. Steven's death was a suicide. He was found in a hotel room in Los Angeles. Devastating, devastating, very sad. Do you know about Steven Twitch Boss?
I'm not familiar with him per se, but due to clips and stuff of him throughout the, you know, seasons of Ellen, I don't watch Ellen personally, so I don't know. But just seeing those clips, it's very sad.
It's
very sad because he seemed like a happy person, you know?
Yeah.
Like, seemed like he was very happy-go-lucky and always dancing and entertaining. And it's just really a sad situation there where Steven is concerned because it's like so many of that is going on.
Yeah,
out there, and
it is.
It's like we have to check on our people.
We do. So what is mental health to you?
Mental health to me, I would say it's more like emotions,
mm-hmm.
you know, like depression and
mm-hmm.
different emotions that you may get.
Mm-hmm.
And like, not just in your head, but like just environmental, you know what I
mm-hmm.
mean?
I see it as mental health too. It's just something wrong with the brain. Something is not processing right.
Well,
genetic factors.
That's
the mental.
All of that stems right there.
Exactly.
The brain,
it's your mental health.
It's the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
It's that REM
mm-hmm.
where if you're not careful,
these thoughts will come.
And derail you off your track
and make you commit suicide.
Make you live in an unrealistic world, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
It's not. Not.
But
it's
your
not.
Mind is playing trick on you, basically. You know.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
It's very sad.
So, what role does mental health play in society?
It's an everyday thing. It's just you. Basically, it's just you controlling your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, you know, like you just saying to yourself, I'm going to do these, you know, things in life that's going to help me to bring peace to my mind,
mm-hmm.
to my body, to my soul, whatever the case may be, you know, like exercising,
mm-hmm.
you know, someone that works out, they're happy, you know, they go daily, they work out, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's something that boosts their, you know, overall being, and they're able to better control their emotions. Some people who work out.
Okay.
Some who don't. So it's.
So what role do you see it in as?
Like a role, like...
Like to me, for my instance, what role do I see mental health playing in society? Now is being important. Now is being really put on the TVs. It's really putting on the social media platforms. It always existed for people to get therapy.
Yeah.
Before it wasn't like that. Now it's all like that. And now it's starting to play an important role in society. Before it wasn't an important role. Once you tell somebody you got a mental illness, they think you crazy. They say go to the crazy house.
True. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And
so.
I guess times is changing.
Yeah, big time.
In the sense of people are being more possessed.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits out there.
Spirits, like, yeah, this is a spiritual world.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it plays a part in everything, every aspect of that. So that's why we have to learn the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
How we're able to keep those in the realms, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
to not let it.
Television, TV, the media.
The media.
That's the main thing. Once they talk about it, a lot of things will start changing for a lot of people.
And guess what? They don't want you.
They don't want that. And you know, another thing with suicide, we talking about suicide, I say with murders too. These mental illnesses issues happen with murders.
Yes.
Sometimes some people just wake up and say, I want to shoot up a store.
Exactly.
Or I want to do this.
Or
what possessed them, or not even, what got to them
yeah.
to make them thinking that way?
You know, it's a sense of... spirits. It goes yeah. right back to the spirits. It's the demons that's coming into your, you know.
Yeah.
Coming, taking over you, like.
Yeah, listen, I understand.
Telling you what to do and you're listening to it because now you're possessed. It's a real thing. Spiritual world is real.
Spiritual world is real. It really is. It is. So should we have more mental health programs in place?
I agree. Yes. 100%. Someone, you know, where you, some place you can go where you can talk through your mind. You know, you're not going to tell your regular, your family member what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want somebody who's like outside of that.
More comforting.
More, you know, not comforting, but can look at you and try to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word I'm looking for? Like, more like help you to manage.
Yeah.
There you go, manage.
Okay. Manage the stress and anxiety and the depression.
Everything that comes with it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, more things in place. Yeah. Hell, you're all over the place. It needs to be all over the place, man. Health programs need to go.
People are going through a lot of things.
And you don't even know.
And you don't know. You do not know. You see somebody smiling with you day in, day out, and the next day they're gone. And you're like, what? You were the happiest person I know.
I know. Oh,
and you can't, you can see a man's face, but you can't see his heart. You don't know what's going on in there.
Yeah.
So it's more like of checking on people, you know, checking on people, seeing how you're doing. You know, I'm here for you. Just saying those small little words and,
brings,
you
know,
reassurance and stuff like that. It helps and it plays a part in, you know, all of that.
It does. It does. Yes. Perfectly said. So should schools and colleges have it mandated as a requirement? That you get, that you see a therapist? Yes. I say yes.
I mean,
it should be a requirement for every student, no matter if they're not going through something. Sit down. It should be faster.
It should be accessible, like more. It should be more out there where people can feel like they can go to get help
and not feeling uncomfortable. Not
feeling like, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy, or they're going to think this. You know what I mean? Like more safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like on some, you know, making all these programs available on campus, the schools, if that's the mandate, yes, you are able to go. And they do have that in college.
They do. Too. They do. But it's not like mandated.
I feel, exactly. So I feel like they see it and they're like, oh, I don't need nobody's help. And they keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Yeah.
It's needed. It's more accessibility.
Yeah. Another question is, do you think the foods play a role in our mental well-being?
Oh, big time.
Yeah?
Big time. Big time. And I, you know, like, it's, to me, it's like the food we eat, what we put into this temple here that we have, alters us in a way that diseases start to form. And diseases come in all types, like mental capacity too, like it you know, like how that's what I'm looking for. You know, like
the foods are, you just have to really mentally watch what you monitor, what you're putting in your body, because everything is not for you. You know, especially if you're dealing with depression, anxiety, a lot of these coffees, a lot of these fast-paced foods, all the fat, all the grease, all that stuff's to make you more anxiety. You got to be mindful of what you're putting into your body, 100%.
Let me say this. Do you know that the animals, when they kill them in the inhumane way, all that stress and anxiety from that
comes into us, I mean? That's why I don't eat meat now. No,
because all of that is coming into you and you're taking on that, because it's like food is it plays a part.
It does. Do you think it's the environment?
It's the environment. It's everything. It's the society. It's the way of the world. It's everything. It's everything play a factor in that, like, you know, the food, the music, the TV, all of this. Everything. It's all, it's society. It's the plays media. It plays a role. All of it. And not to mention how, you know, society's going and everyone's, you know, back is against the wall and, you know, pandemic happened and all of this and, you know, mm-hmm. people don't know how to manage. Some people are just not strong.
They're not.
And no fault of their own, but it's, if you know you're not, you need to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You need to seek help. You need to be truthful with yourself and seek the help that you need to, you know, help you rein in that, because you see what happens.
Yeah.
So I do understand what you say about the mandate with, you know,
it is, it needs, yeah. it needs, you know, mental at health least. Is very serious, and a lot of people are dying because of it, committing suicide, going crazy.
Yep.
And it breaks my heart every time that I hear that somebody killed themselves.
Yeah.
Like, what is literally going on to the point you got to kill yourself? Is the voices that bad? That's why I'm saying we need to say stuff on TV. We need more politicians. We need more people behind us to really talk about mental health and really stress the issues, because it's somebody out there suffering just like Steven, you know, and they don't, and they're going to wind up killing themselves as well. People need to know is stuff out here to help you. It really is stuff out here to help you. Don't just think killing yourself is the only way to help yourself, because that's not the way.
And let me just say this. All the pills and the stuff they give you, that plays a part in that as well.
Yeah.
It plays a part. You know what I mean? So it's like all of that
mm-hmm.
that have to do with this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there you have it.
So let's jump into the interview with you. Can you introduce yourself one more time?
Do you like hearing my name?
Yes, introduce yourself one more time, because we're jumping in the interview about you.
Yes, so I'm Janelle Nelly Allen.
Okay.
I am doula.
Yes. So, hey guys, doula. Janelle, tell me about yourself.
I'm a doula.
Okay.
And so, you know,
what is a doula?
I'm going to tell you about myself.
Okay.
Because it's just like I'm a doula.
Okay.
But I'm looking for, I'm, you know.
Just flow with it. Tell me about yourself. Who are you?
Do I want to tell these people I'm a nurse?
Okay. You're a nurse?
Okay, I'm a nurse.
Okay.
I'm a nurse.
I'm a nurse. All right.
So I'm a nurse. I'm a doula. You know. I'm a mom, twin mom. I have many hats. How about that? I have many hats.
Okay. So tell us, what is a doula?
So a doula now is a birth supporter, in my view of it. You know, go support a mom before labor, before pregnancy, during pregnancy, after pregnancy. You know, mostly in labor and after pregnancy, you know, because it's like, you know, support. Not everyone have support. So, you know, it's like a birth woman who's there to support you and, you know, be there physically for you, emotionally, helping you through that process of birth and, you know, before you go in actual labor. And, it's a support system for the mom to help her through with like breathing techniques and labor and, you know, stuff of that nature. So it's a rewarding title, doula, being a doula. Yeah, because there's moms and stuff out there, you know, not stuff out there, but like there's moms out there that don't have support and, you know, and they find out they're pregnant and they don't know anything about pregnancy.
So is this your business?
Yes.
Tell me about this business.
So With Woman Care is you know, doula service. It's more of an umbrella, because I plan to be a midwife. I'm an aspiring midwife. You know what, I'm gonna just say that over. Can I reintroduce myself?
Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna reintroduce
myself.
I don't know how to do this. You flowing, girl. So, you know, I'm Nelly. I'm Nelly the doula. I'm, you know, Nelly the nurse.
Yes.
I'm an aspiring midwife. I am a mom of five. I am a twin mom, you know, and I'm also a warrior mom. And warrior mom is like, yeah, top notch, because here, why? I birth my twins at home
Oh,
it was
yes.
The most beautiful thing.
Yes. Share your home birth story.
So, you know, it's I birthed them at home, so I got that title. So I'm Warrior Mom. Anyway, so, you know, doula, you're going to ask that question?
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
So being a doula is basically, you know, supporting mom throughout the process of, you know, pregnancy and labor and postpartum care as well. So you be with the mom in the first, second trimester, third trimester, mostly in the third trimester. That's when you would have moms wanting to, you know, have some support. But you normally would want to start probably the moment you find out you're pregnant, because it's like...
To get a doula.
Yeah, just to get a doula so that you can, you know, get the information.
Have that support, yeah.
The support that you need through, if you don't even know it. Because let's face it, some people don't have that support.
And a lot of people don't know what a doula is.
Well, you know...
Or they can even get access to a doula.
Right, so the access is like kind of... I'm not sure if the numbers right now are what states have doulas. I believe Portland, Oregon, passed a law or something like that where doulas are able to be paid through insurance or something like
that.
Wow. But I believe that's what it is. And also, they can bill up to a certain amount. So they're being recognized, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can have that support through your insurance if your insurance supports that. But if it doesn't, you can also pay out of pocket for that. And that's something that you can probably put on a, like, you know, a baby registry or something, where someone can actually, like, persons can actually, you know, put into that fund so you can afford a doula. You know, that support, that extra support is needed, because moms going into the hospital having birth, and as a doula you serve both, whether they want to be in the hospital or in at home, you know. But and I say at home because home birth is a thing. You can do it.
You can do it.
I'm living example. Like, I had my twins at home, so it's support in any birthing environment that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you want to be home or in the hospital, you have that support.
Okay. You know what I mean? So I want to get back more into your business of dueling. Of a doula. I want to get back into your business about that. Tell me, what is the day-to-day like in your business?
Well, being a doula is not a day-to-day thing.
Okay.
Per se.
Okay.
And I say this because physically, it's not a day-to-day thing, but more like communicationally, like, I would, if, like, my clients, like, say... they're not due, say, for another 2 months, like, you know, say another 8 weeks or something like that. I won't hear or see from my client. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I check up on them. They have access on me. I don't check up on them personally, but they have access to me until they go into labor.
Okay.
They can ask questions. They can, you know, if they had any concerns and I'm able to answer it, I answer it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If I don't know, I provide resources so they can find, you know what I mean? So it's support.
Okay.
It's support, because moms to be, whether they have support or not, some don't know. So you offer that.
Okay.
Some families have support where moms and stuff, you know, is involved, grandparents are involved, and they're supportive and they'll help you through labor, but some don't have that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's where the doula comes in, and it's like an offset with you know, midwifery. They're two separate things, right? But they're similar in sense, because the midwife is with the woman. That's the name of the business, With Woman Care. And okay. It would be like more of an umbrella, you know what I mean?
Right.
So midwifery would be at the top with Woman Care, because the word midwife actually means with woman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect.
So
perfect.
With Woman Care.
Okay.
And that's the umbrella, midwifery and doula services.
Okay.
That's the
company. And what is your services?
I'm a doula for now.
And so what is your Instagram?
My Instagram is Wellness with Nurse Nels. You can find me there at Wellness Nurse Nels. Wellness with Nurse Nels.
Yes, to get all the doula tips, all the doula updates. She posts daily all her updates and everything and more. Yes, if you're really into getting a doula for one of your home births, you know, a lot of people are doing it. Everybody doesn't need to go to the hospital. You can have a doula and you can have a home birth, a nice, healthy birth, okay?
Wellness with yes. Nurse Nels. Wellness with Nurse Nels.
That's Wellness with Nurse Instagram. Nels, yes.
And, you know, being a doula is a rewarding thing because, let me tell you, I've been at births where moms and families are just so happy. Like, thank you. Like, I didn't take the epidural because you were there. You supported me.
Oh.
And massage. Like, okay, so.
So you have had clients.
Yes.
Yes. You get clients.
I get clients.
Yes. But
the beauty about being a doula is I'm not going to a birth every day.
Okay.
Some doulas are probably doing that because they have more clients. But I, I go and I have time for myself. Check up on her, you know. Check in, good, okay.
Wow.
Come back and I'm in labor. Call comes in 4 o'clock in the morning. The text comes in. I'm like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I want to get into home births now. Are home births healthy?
I mean, I had a home birth.
Okay.
And there was, my midwife was really amazing. So she knew her stuff.
She knew all the ropes. She knew all the techniques. She knew everything. Yeah.
Because in a sense, you would have people say it's not safe because, you know, so I wouldn't say healthy, but like safe,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's people think it's not safe, but if you have a birth plan, cause that's a part of being a doula, you help the mom envision her birth,
mm-hmm.
What she desired, whether she wanted to be in a hospital or at home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what the vision is. And then you make a birth plan. And when you make the birth plan, you say, okay, and I'm going to do a home birth. In the event something should go, I would like to be transported. I do not want to do this. I do not want to do that. And you make your claim. You have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's a part of the doulaing too. You help a mom envision the birth, write out the plan, and you would be that advocate for her in a sense, in a hospital setting or wherever.
Wow, you do all that.
Yeah.
You do all that. Wow, you work hard. You work hard. Yes. So are home births more reliable than hospital births?
It depends on what you want. Let me tell you. And this is why. It depends on what you want. Because. Yeah. Do you want to have a peaceful birth? Do you want to have a birth where you're in your home comfort space? You don't have nobody in your ears saying, you know, I got to do this, I got to do that, blah, blah. You know what I mean? You're at home, you're watching TV, you're eating, you're drinking. Because part of laboring, you have to eat and drink to get your energy.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in the hospital, they kind of restrict you. You
know okay. What I
mean? So, they don't want you to do nothing by mouth because you may need a surgery or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or if, say, the fetal monitor is showing wonky stuff, like, they may have to cut you, so they don't want you to eat, so they'll have a, you know, IV running, you know, some fluids running, and that's how you stay hydrated. You're restricted.
From the realness.
Yeah.
Nature.
Thank you.
Fruits, birth, vegetables, do everything.
Do you know birth is...
Oh, you're passing the microphone.
Do you know...
it's okay. It's okay.
But do you know that birth is physiological? Like, it's something that's, you know...
I don't know. Birth, I don't have children yet.
No, but from ever since, from the beginning of times, it's a birth passage. Like, it's a birth rite. Like, you know, it's a birth... Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, tell me about
it. It's a soul being born.
I don't know. One day.
It's coming, but
yeah,
you know, it's a beautiful thing, and you can birth at home. That's what they've been doing over the centuries. You know, home births. They're home.
So, what is the process of setting up a home birth?
Well, like I said, they're home. They have the privilege of being at home. You know. Birth in, and they prepare. So you would get your chucks and whatever, and whatever you need, shower curtains to protect your upholsteries and bed and mattresses or your carpets or whatever. You know, you get a birth kit from online. You do stuff. You have midwives that, you know, have their own stuff that they would want, so they'll send out or whatever. It's just you get the home supply, and some of these supplies that's in the kit is like basically, you know, perineum pads for after, like, you know, after the birth, you have pads to put on to hold, you know, to catch the lochia, which is the blood from, you know, after birth. Baby comes out and you know, blood. Because, you know, for 9 months, you don't see your period. You don't have a period. So it's like, yeah, you got, you know, it's all of those things that you need for that after, you know, that's what is mostly in there.
Okay.
You know, they have the suction and all the stuff. You prepare. You get the stuff that you need for the birth.
So you had a home birth.
I did.
Yes. Would you be comfortable with sharing your home birth story?
I could tell you guys some stuff, but you guys can go on YouTube and go watch it, because I spoke about it.
And where can you find that, YouTube?
I don't even know what's going on with YouTube, girl. Let me find out. I don't even know what the name on YouTube is for that, because I don't pay attention to the YouTube.
Okay.
But I just told my story on there because, like, everyone just kept asking, oh my goodness, you had twins at home? Oh, because it's like, I was pregnant, they saw me and they knew I was having twins or whatever, and then I had them, and then they saw me at home and they're like, oh my goodness, you had them here? I'm like, yes. They saw me laboring around my blog, like, yeah, I was laboring, walking with a big ass belly with my doulas.
Wow.
Just walking, and that's what inspired me to do doulaing, because I had a doula that she really helped me through that process. Like, I made me realize I can do it. Like, I don't need anything. She massaged me, you know. Mm-hmm. She brought me down, rubbed my feet. I fell asleep in my birth.
Wow.
I fell asleep in my first twin's birth. I was about probably 6 centimeters, took a quick nap, and was 8 centimeters or something like
wow.
that.
Wow.
But you can go on YouTube. You can find me at Nelly. You can look for Planned Home Birth Story VBAC Edition with Twins, Nelly. Just have a look.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, you had a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
My first twin came out with her feet first, footland presentation, they call it. So, you know, it was breech. My daughter was breech.
Wow.
And 21 hours later, Jayla came.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yep, 21 hours later. And so, therefore, in hindsight, you would say that I had 2 labors.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. I had 2 labors, and it was, yeah, it was good. I felt empowered. I felt like I was doing something that was natural. You know, I felt like it was, like, you know, so peaceful. My birth was peaceful, like being at home, not having, you know, because, all right, so I guess I'll just say that I had 3 prior C-sections. I forgot that bit, you know. So I'm a VBAC mama, too. That's another part of my title. I'm a VBAC mama. Like, I had 3 C-sections. The first one was an emergency. And, you know, what they say is after you have the emergency C-section or whatever, C-section, you have to continue with that process. And so if you have more children, you would have to have a C-section again to have these children.
Wow.
And so therefore, I went through it 3 times and I didn't want to,
sorry,
you know, be bothered. You're fine. I didn't want to be bothered with, you know, the recovery of that. I went through it 3 times already, and mind you, when I was having my daughter the third time, well, I have 2 boys and and 3 girls, right? So 2 boys were by C-section, and the girls, well, one of the girl was C-section. When I went to the doctor in my new neighborhood when I had moved 5 years ago, like, it I went there and I found out I was pregnant, and I tried to say, like, I would like to, you know, push my baby out. And they never gave me that opportunity. Oh, no, you had two C-sections. That's protocol. And I'm like, that don't make no sense to me. Like,
yeah.
Like, I feel like within my body with the scars, you know, from my cut, I feel it's healed. I feel good. And they didn't allow me. So I had a C-section. But then with the twins, I said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that again. And that's how I decided to get a midwife and, you know, get my doula and did it at home. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful. I enjoyed it. I watched TV. I ate. My husband cooked. You know, it was good.
Wow.
My husband cooked, and I mean, he wasn't in the room with me when I was having my baby, but you know, he cooked, and you know, he tried to keep up. And at one point, I think I heard the stereo go up.
Okay. Well, congratulations on your business. Keep doing your thing. There's women out here that need information about this.
Yeah.
And this is why I had you come on to the Tainted and Tempted podcast, because I want to get your voice out. I want to get this heard and everyone to know about your business.
I mean, you know, I appreciate that.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's something that I would want to train my daughters with, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, it's that much needed. And let's not
forget, a beautiful thing.
Back in the days, that's what it was. Women were going to births.
Yeah.
Women were going to these births and supporting moms and supporting women. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were doing it.
Wow.
They were doing it. So it can be done. It's just that certain information has been lost over time because of the healthcare system.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying to you? So that's what it is.
Yeah.
But we could bring that back.
Yeah. We can. And it's coming back. It will come back. Yeah.
It is here.
Yeah.
It's here
on the Tainted and Tempted podcast. Hello.
Hello.
So let's go.
So you should see the documentary Aftershock.
Okay. I'll check it out.
It says a lot in that documentary. Not that you, even if you don't understand, you really would watch it and you would, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jonelle, for coming on to the Tainted and Tempted podcast.
Yeah, no,
I appreciate it. Thank you for letting my audience know about your business.
Thank you. Thank you for having
me. Yes, you're welcome. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing a good job, girl.
Thank you.
You know, little minor stuff, but we talk about, but yeah.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Okay, everyone. So thank you so much for tuning into the Tainted and Tempted podcast. So I do want to say before I go that I won't be premiering any more episodes for the Tainted and Tempted podcast due to certain circumstances, but I will be back. So stay tuned. Okay. I will be back. All right. So everyone enjoy their weekend. Have a great one. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, bye.